Actually, it could be worse. Seamount shrugged. At least, by the time he's ready to start making guns and shells using the new techniques, we should have had time to finish tweaking our powder's performance still further.
I can see that.
This time, Machlin nodded with firm, unqualified approval.
And that was what Sandra suggested to you?
Oh, no. Seamount's headshake surprised him. I suppose if I'm really going to be accurate, it wasn't so much something she suggested we do, so much as something she suggested we not do.
If your object is to confuse me, Alfred, you're succeeding quite nicely, Machlin said a bit tartly, and the Baron chuckled.
Sorry. What I meant is that Dr. Lewis is a very thorough woman. She sent us a list of just about everything that could conceivably have been used to fuse our shells. We're satisfied, so far at least, with the one we've tentatively settled on. But there were quite a few others, including some which she warned us would almost certainly be far too sensitive or unsuitable for some other reason.
That sounds like her, Machlin said with a slight smile.
Well, something she included was what she called fulminated quicksilver.
He raised an eyebrow at Machlin, who very carefully showed no reaction at all, aside from a polite nod inviting his visitor to continue.
She warned us that fulminated quicksilver was much too sensitive for something as lively as an artillery shell. We tested it, of course, cautiously, and I agree with her entirely. But a couple of days ago, one of my other clever young officers suggested to Irvin that even though it's too sensitive for inclusion in a shell, there ought to be some way to use it as a priming composition, something that could actually replace flintlocks.
Machlin let his chair come fully upright, making no attempt now to disguise his sudden, intent interest. Fulminated quicksilver, what an old Terran would have called fulminate of mercury, was scarcely anything he would have wanted to work with, if only because of the potential health risks. But it had some very interesting properties, and those properties had led it to be used in old Terra's firearms for a long, long time. He'd discovered them for himself, using his Calm and Owl's research assistants, on one of the unfortunately frequent nights when his aging bones found sleep elusive. There were other, safer ways to achieve the same effect, but this one was already here, ready to hand, if only someone would recognize the implications. As he'd skimmed over Lewis's most recent reports, he'd wondered how he might casually bring some of those properties to her attention. Was it possible?
Go on, he urged.
This stuff is sensitive enough you can set it off just by dropping it, which is going to pose some problems, Seamount said,
leaning forward himself and waving his mutilated hand in what Machlin considered rather pointed emphasis.
I'll be surprised if there's not a way to figure out solutions for most of them, though. And if we can, Rajir, you can actually set it off underwater. If we can figure out a way to make it work, our Marines' rifles would fire just as reliably in the middle of a Telesburg thunderstorm as on a sunny day. Not only that, but I think it would decrease the lock time, the interval between when the hammer falls and the main charge explodes. And if it does, it should also increase individual accuracy.
I see, Machlin nodded his head energetically. I think your clever young officer is onto something very important here, Alfred. This is something we need to follow up on immediately.
I agree entirely, the Baron said, then snorted. He really is a clever fellow, too. In fact, he's also come up with another interesting application of Dr. Lewis's fuse compound.
He has?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I think he may be going to put tinderbox makers out of business, Seamount said,
and chuckled at Machlin's baffled expression.
He tried putting some of the new compound on the end of a splinter, and discovered he could ignite it by scratching it across a rough surface. It's almost like magic in a lot of ways. The damn thing will strike almost anywhere. And if he coats the splinter in a little paraffin to give it some reliable fuel, it not only waterproofs the compound, but the splinter itself burns a lot hotter and a lot longer than anything I've ever seen out of a tinderbox or a regular fire striker, too.
Really? That sounds like it could have a lot of uses outside the Navy.
I imagine it will, but it's going to take some getting used to. It ignites a bit energetically, and it throws sparks like crazy. In fact, you have to be a bit cautious about using one of the things. And talk about stinking.
He grimaced, then grinned suddenly.
Somehow I don't think the group of four is really likely to approve of the nickname the boards hung on the thing, either.
What sort of nickname? Macklin asked.
Well, given the sparks and the stink, it smells just like brimstone, actually. They're calling the things Shanwei's candles,
Seamount said with another grimace.
I'm not so sure we want to be encouraging anyone to use that particular nickname when the group of four is busy accusing us all of heresy and Shanwei worship.
Probably not, Macklin agreed. Probably not.
Yet even as he agreed, another thought was passing through a very private corner of his brain.
You may be right about not using it now, Alfred. In fact, I'm sure you are. But whether they know it or not, your bright young officers have hung exactly the right name on it. Because that candle is part of what's going to blow the Church of God Awaiting's tyranny apart, and wherever she is, Pei Shanwei is going to be cheering us on the entire way.